Good morning, Christ Lutheran Church. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. My assignment this morning is to talk to you from the topic, your spiritual or your kingdom task. Let me just take a moment before we dive in, just to introduce myself. My name is John Vower, and I'm your incoming vicar here at Christ Lutheran Church. I'm excited about what God is doing here at Christ and what he is about to do in this community here in the Southwest Fort Worth community. I'm particularly excited because of what Christ Lutheran Church represents in this community. If you've had the opportunity to take a look at our website lately, and you can find that by going to ChristFortWorth.com. So if you take a moment just to visit the website, right there on the homepage, on the top right, you'll find something that should be fascinating, that if you haven't taken a look at in a while, this will be your opportunity as soon as you leave here, or maybe even as you're watching, to just take a moment and just go to ChristFortWorth.com. And on the top right corner, you will see something of a motto or a mission statement. It's a very simple mission statement. It's very straightforward. And it simply says, bringing Christ to our neighbors. Bringing Christ to our neighbors. And as neighbors with an S. And I find that mission statement to be quite powerful and quite purposeful, because very few churches, if you will look around here and you will visit some of the churches around here and visit the websites, very few churches have a mission statement that is that succinct, but yet very powerful, bringing Christ to our neighbors. And I bring that up because I would like to take a moment this morning just to reemphasize, if you will, the power of that mission statement. Just to call your attention back to your kingdom purpose, the reason for which we exist as a local church. Nothing captures that reason more than that statement, bringing Christ to our neighbors. This is, in fact, part and parcel of the larger context of the church, the larger purpose of why the church, capital C, even exists, to introduce Christ to the world so that men may be saved. He came to redeem the world. This is what the scripture says. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the right, the authority to become sons of God. He said, I came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through me shall be saved. This is the very purpose you find in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, when he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey the things that I've commanded you. This is, in fact, the very purpose for which we exist as a local body, as a local church, to make the name of our Christ, to make the name of Jesus famous, and to introduce him to a world and to a community that may not know him or that may have forgotten him. This is our task. This is our mission. There's a lot of times we look at Pentecost and we think of it in the moment. We think of Pentecost as this one seminal moment where the Spirit of God is poured out. And that same Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost is still moving in the church today. That same Spirit that was poured out on that day when Peter preached and 3,000 were added to the church is still moving in us today. That same Spirit is in you. That same Spirit is among us. That same Spirit is in the body and is moving powerfully in our midst. But why is the Spirit moving in our midst? Why has God chosen to indwell you, to put His Spirit in you, to come and abide with you? It is for kingdom purpose. God does nothing amiss. If His Spirit is in you, it is in you for a reason. And so this morning, we're going to talk about that reason. Now, if you look at our gospel reading this morning, you will find Jesus is being confronted by some religious people. Jesus is being confronted. It says that when he went home and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat, and when his family heard it, they went out and seized him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed with Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out demons." So they're accusing Jesus because he is performing miracles. He is casting out demons. The Spirit is in him powerfully and is moving in and through him to heal the brokenhearted. He's fulfilling his purpose for which he was born. He's fulfilling the purpose for which he came into the world. And these naysayers and haters find Jesus busy doing the will of the Father. And they say, "Oh, he's casting out demons by the power of demons, by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons." And Jesus says to them, he said, "How can Satan cast out Satan? Because a house divided against itself cannot stand." A house divided against itself cannot stand. And the lesson we learn from Jesus here in fulfilling the task and the purpose for which God has called us, the first thing you must understand when the Spirit of God begins to move and when the Spirit of God is moving in our midst, He brings about unity. The Spirit is not divided against itself. There is spiritual unity in the body of Christ. There is spiritual unity amongst the children of God. This is how you know, this is how you discern that this is in fact the work of the Spirit. There are no divisions. There are no discord. The Spirit is moving and the Spirit moves in unity. Scripture tells us that on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. And after they had prayed, the Spirit descended upon them. But before they prayed, before the Spirit descended upon them, the thing you must never miss, you must not miss, is that they were all together in unity. Unity precedes power. Where there is no unity, there is no power. Where there is no unity, you can accomplish nothing. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? And so even as we see the Spirit of God moving in our midst, even as we see the Spirit of God giving us the kingdom task of bringing Christ to our neighbors, of winning the lost at all cost, of going out into the community We must understand that without unity, we cannot do it. There must be spiritual unity. And our gospel lesson this morning tells us that Jesus' mother and his brothers came and they were standing outside, and the crowd began to say, your mother and your brothers are all here. And Jesus does something that if you're not listening or you're not watching the way Jesus works and the way the Spirit works, you would think that he is cold and cruel. He says, who is my mother and who is my brother? And the scripture says, looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Who is my mother, my sister, my brother? It is these. It is you who do the will of God. There is spiritual and kingdom solidarity. We're united in purpose. And therefore we are effective. We're united as one people, as one church, fulfilling one mission and one motto, bringing our neighbors to Christ. And in order to do this, beloved, we'll have to be united. We'll have to stand in solidarity with one another. It doesn't matter what your neighbor looks like. Because this begs the question, who is your neighbor? This is the question that was asked of Christ when he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And someone asked him, who is my neighbor? And Jesus went on to give us the parable of the Good Samaritan, to illustrate for us what neighborly character is like, to illustrate for us what neighborly attitude is like. What Christ was saying, what he was teaching us here, is that whoever bears the image of God is your neighbor. Whoever bears the image of God, regardless of how they vote, regardless of what they look like, regardless of the disagreements you may have with them, regardless of what you think of them, regardless of how you feel, does this person bear the image of God? If he bears the image of God, he is your neighbor. If she bears the image of God, she is your neighbor. Therefore, our seminal task as a church is to bring Christ to our neighbors, to all of our neighbors. And we can only do it if we're united and if we're standing in solidarity with one another. The Lord bless you and keep you, and may he bless his word. May it permeate your spirit, and may he prosper you in Jesus' name. Amen.